We start today in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll begin in verse 26. We're looking at a section where Paul talks about the difference between the old life before we're baptized and the new life in Christ. And he calls that old life of sin the old man, and he compares that to the new life in Christ and refers to that life as the new man. The Bible shows that when we obey the gospel, we're not simply baptized, we have to believe and repent and confess and be baptized. And repentance means a change of mind and a change of life. It means giving up those former ways. It doesn't mean that we'll ever be perfect, but it does mean that we have to change our mind and our attitude about sin, and we have to turn from that kind of lifestyle. Now, Paul goes into some specific details here about what that means. He doesn't just leave it in general terms. And so, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, he lists some specific things that we are not to do as Christians. The very first one, in verse 25, is that we are not to lie. He says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." So the first thing that he tells these Christians not to do is lie. He tells them and us to speak the truth. We looked at that in the last lesson, and today we begin in verse 26, where he says that being a Christian also means controlling your temper. He says, "Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." Now, we want to point out, first of all, that the Bible does not say here or anywhere else, don't ever be angry in any circumstance, because sometimes we should be angry. We ought to be angry over sin. We ought to be angry because sin is being committed, whether it's being committed in our lives or in other people's lives. The Bible says that Jesus became angry in Mark chapter 3, verse 5. He looked round about upon them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. Jesus got angry. And so we cannot say that just being angry over any cause whatsoever is a sin, because the Bible shows that what we sometimes refer to as righteous indignation is a good thing. The Bible talks about God getting angry. The Bible shows that Jesus became angry. The scriptures show that great men of God in the Bible became angry and had the right to do so. And we need to remember that anger is a natural human emotion. When people say that it's wrong for a Christian to ever get angry, they're basically saying that you're not to even be natural. And that is an unnatural thing. To tell people that you can never be angry as a Christian is like telling a Christian that you can never be sad about anything. The Bible shows that we're going to feel these emotions. But the scriptures teach us here in Ephesians 4, verse 26 and 27, and many other passages, that we are to be angry over the right things, not the wrong things, and we are to control that anger. So let's look at what he says in verse 26. He said, "Be ye angry." He doesn't say, don't ever be angry, but he says, if you are angry, don't sin. Be ye angry and sin not. That shows that the anger itself is a feeling. It's not sinful in and of itself. It is what you do with that feeling. Paul says, "Be ye angry and sin not." And then he adds, "Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." That means don't hold on to that anger. Don't let that anger keep getting worse. Anger is like fire. It just keeps burning and it gets hotter and it spreads even more. So don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. There comes a point where we have to put an end to it. We have to put a stop to it. We have to get it off of our mind, even though that can be very, very difficult. Don't let it just keep on burning. Get over it. And don't be boiling hours later or even days later about it. The Bible says, "Be ye angry and sin not, and do not let the sun go down upon your wrath." Why? Well, he indicates that in verse 27 especially. He says, "Neither give place to the devil." When you're angry, you're not thinking clearly. You're not thinking straight. And when you're not thinking clearly, the devil can easily take advantage of you. Anger is just an opportunity for him. It's an open door for the devil. So the devil will have place in your heart. He will have room to work his evil in your life when you're angry, because when you're angry, you're not in full control. That anger has clouded your judgment. And so the Bible says, get rid of that anger, because if you don't, you're going to give the devil room to work in your life. There is a great deal of teaching in the Bible on the subject of controlling our temper. And one book in the Bible that talks about this a great deal is the book of Proverbs. Notice what the Bible says in Proverbs 15, verse 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Even our response to other people can either make anger better or worse. I'm looking at something that was written long ago by Noah Webster. It was written in 1834. It's called The Value of the Bible and Excellence of Christian Religion for the Use of Families and Schools. And Noah Webster said these words in 1834 about the Bible. For a knowledge of the human heart and the characters of men, it is customary to resort to the writings of Shakespeare and of other dramatic authors, and to biography, novels, tales, and fictitious narratives. But whatever amusement may be derived from such writings, they are not the best authorities for a knowledge of mankind. The most perfect maxims and examples for regulating your social conduct and domestic economy, as well as the best rules of morality and religion, are to be found in the Bible. All the traits of human character, good and bad, all the passions of the human heart, all the principles which guide and misguide men in society are depicted in that short history. With an artless simplicity that has no parallel in modern writings. As to the maxims of wisdom or prudence, the Proverbs of Solomon furnish a complete system, and sufficient, if carefully observed, to make any man wise, prosperous, and happy. The observation that a soft answer turneth away wrath, if strictly observed by men, would prevent half the broils and contentions that inflict wretchedness on society and families. Those words are very true, and the same thing could be said about many of these proverbs that we find in the Old Testament. Let's look further at some other proverbs that deal with the subject of anger. In Proverbs 29, verse 22, the Bible shows that an angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgression. When a person cannot control his temper, what happens? Well, Solomon says that person stirs up strife, that person causes trouble, and that person abounds in transgression. That person makes a lot of mistakes because he will not or she will not control that temper. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 19, the Bible says, "A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment." Now, the man of great wrath here is somebody that does not control his temper. What happens to him? He will suffer punishment. He is going to feel a lot of pain in his life because he won't control his temper. And he adds this, "For if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again." You might get him out of trouble. You might be able to deliver him from some of the consequences of losing his temper. But if you do, and he does not learn to control his temper, you're going to have to do it again, because he's going to get into even more trouble because he's never learned to control that anger. The Bible also says in Proverbs 22, verses 24 and 25, to be careful about getting too close to somebody that cannot control his temper. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Again, that's Proverbs 22, verses 24 and 25. Solomon in the book of Proverbs talks a lot about the friends that we have. He talks a lot about our companions, and he says to be careful about who your companions are, because they influence us. The people that we're around and the people that we get close to have a strong influence on us. Solomon says, "He that walks with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." And remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, evil companions corrupt good morals. And here in Proverbs 22, Solomon says, make no friendship with an angry man. Why? Because he's going to influence you. He is going to rub off on you, and his same hot-tempered nature is going to affect you. You're going to be like him, and you don't want to do that. Here are some other verses in the Bible that talk about our temper and the need to control that anger. In Ecclesiastes 7, verse 9, the Bible says, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry. Don't be in a hurry, don't be in a rush to be angry. For anger resteth in the bosom of fools. People who are always angry, people who have no control over their temper, are foolish. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 9. In the New Testament, in James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, the Bible says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. The more you think about those words, the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God, the more you'll see how they apply to life. The more you'll see how important it is to control the temper, because our anger oftentimes is what gets in our way. It's what causes us to stumble. It's what causes us to get in the wrong frame of mind and to say and do the wrong thing. If we don't control our anger, it will destroy us and it will destroy the people around us. And there are many examples of this in the Bible. Cain got mad and he killed his brother, Genesis 4. Balaam got angry, and he said some very foolish things, Numbers 22. King Saul was angry with David for no reason, and he made some very rash decisions. We read about those decisions in the book of 1 Samuel. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, was furious with three Hebrew men who would not compromise. Anger can lead us to do things that otherwise we would not do. As a matter of fact, anger can cause us to do things that we never intended to do and that we later regret. But it's not just evil people that I'm talking about here, like Cain and Balaam and King Saul. Even good people get mad and say things that they shouldn't say. Moses was a great man of God, and yet Moses became so angry with the people of Israel that he said something in Numbers chapter 20 that kept him out of the promised land. Job was a great man of God, and yet Job was so irritated with his friends criticizing him that he said something about God that he shouldn't have said. How true those words are, that the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. One other thing that we want to notice about anger is what Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 22. Jesus said, but I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, that is, you empty-headed one, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. There are two things to notice about this. You notice a progression of this state of mind. The anger leads to utter contempt, and finally to the point where a person has such utter disregard for a fellow human being that he calls him a fool. The other thing to notice here is that Jesus talks about being angry with a brother without a cause. People today oftentimes get mad at somebody, but they don't really have a cause. They don't have a just cause. They may claim that they have a reason, but they really don't have a biblical reason to be angry with that person. But even if the anger is justified, we still need to remember the words of Paul, be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil.